broadcasting live from the Commodity Classic in downtown Houston. StoneX joins us today with Harlan Suderman. How's it going?
It's going real well. It's good to be here, and love seeing the farmers, meeting the farmers, and having a chance to interact with them here at the show each year.
So how was the turnout yesterday?
It was pretty good, and really surprised me how many people came into Houston this year, good attendance, and I think it's kind of, some of it's post-COVID, just the, hey, let's get back to normal and everything, and I think that's what drawn a lot of them, even though they're not happy about what prices are doing for grain. Livestock producers certainly do like the grain prices.
Let's talk about corn, cotton, and sorghum, and all the mix up in the Texas Panhandle. Where are you seeing that thing heading?
Yeah, a lot of different topics there. As we look at cotton, we'd had a nice recovery in prices, and so now the question is going to be, you know, how much of an increase in acreage do we get? The December contract not kind of responding quite as much as what the nearbys are, and I think part of that's because the expectation that we are buying some acres. We've seen some decent demand in here, and I think last year's crop maybe not as big as what USDA's saying. That's kind of the thinking in the cash market. Been providing some support to the market. And so that's from the cotton standpoint. When we look at corn prices, feed prices for livestock, just continuing to slide lower. We've seen a little bit bounce in here. We had a nice reversal in the charts and got a little follow through. But the fundamentals certainly not working in favor of a significant rally right now. One of those factors is a U.S. producer is undersold. Every farmer I talked to here from the Midwest saying, man, I wish I would have sold more. He's undersold. He kept thinking we were going to get more of a bounce and usually has more sold by now. Well, you know, when I talk to our Brazil people, it's even worse there. The farmers sold even less there, and they sell off that Chicago market as well. That makes it difficult to sustain rallies. And so anytime we get a rally, it quickly kind of gets killed once again. So we'll be watching. One of the things that could turn that around for feed prices or for corn, depending on which side you're on, is the winter corn growing season in Brazil, the safrinha corn, if you will. They're planting that now, kind of wrapping up the planting in the Mato Grosso area, and it'll continue to linger on to areas of the south and east of that for a little bit longer. And the rains are really good for them right now, so they're getting off to a good start. But what about the rainy season, the monsoon rains? How long will they last? Will they last long enough to get the crop to the grain fill stage or not? And the longer term models are saying that it may not last long enough. And if that happens, kind of an analog year from what our forecast people tell us is 2018, they did see a significant shortfall in production that year. So that's one of the risks that we're watching to this corn market that could flip these funds who are, you know, near record short right now, something that we'll have to keep our eye on here over the next 60 to 90 days. And then when you look at cattle prices, wow, what a ride it's been on. Certainly for those affected by the fires, you know, our prayers are going with them, and I know some of our customers affected by that. And that's really tough and difficult.
The world, 100,000 acres.
Yeah, we're hearing some numbers as much as 1 million altogether now, and so that's just painful how life changes in an instant and puts some perspective on things. But the bigger picture, it's probably not going to affect the cattle market much. Maybe we saw a big push in feeder cattle going into the market yesterday, pressure in the feeder cattle market, loss of pasture, etc. But we're dry, frankly, in that area too. We need to get a low pressure to slow down and bring some moisture back in here over the next month so that drought doesn't lock in once again. But on the cattle side, we still have those tight supplies. We still haven't started rebuilding the cow herd. We pulled a lot of those cattle forward over the last several months. And even this last cattle on feed report, numbers came in just a little bit higher than what we thought. So as we model that out, probably over the next 4 months, our supply is going to be about 0.6% larger than what it was a year ago. But then we tighten up again. And once we start holding heifers back, we'll tighten it up even more. So the real question comes, you say, does that mean we go higher, new highs? that's going to come down to the consumer. What's the consumer going to be willing to pay for that steak? Right now, we're seeing consumer sentiment moving higher, and that tends to mean they're willing to pay for the steak. If that turns lower again, then they'll go down to pork or to poultry, down the value chain. But for now, it's looking good for the cattle industry. And we just got that cold storage report out, and it was showing those tighter supplies. That's good. But near term, this week, packers really slowing the chain speed, really slowing the number of cattle they're taking, trying to improve their margins right now. And that's kind of what's weighing on this market this week.
So we're about a month away from the planting intentions report. That could be an interesting number.
Yeah, I've been looking for the corn acres to drop by about 2.5 million. USDA came out with a number out of their outlook form with a much bigger number than that. I don't put much stock in what they come out the outlook form, because that's just economists sitting in an office not surveying farmers or end users or anybody. But in this case, it's going to be interesting to watch. Farmers in the Midwest, the core Midwest, where we grow the bulk of our corn and soybeans, for the last 15 years have not wanted to get away from their rotations. I am hearing here a little bit more of, you know, I'm going to start planting soybeans this year instead of corn. And if it's going well, I'll just keep going. We may get a little bit more of a shift. Now, if you look and if you assume normal weather, corn has to lose several million acres just to keep from really building up supplies more. So from the livestock producer standpoint, that means the odds probably favor cheap corn going forward more than they do expensive, assuming normal weather on both sides of the equator. But if we do get a bigger switch, we do have some weather problems, that's where we could get a pop in the market. Something we'll have to watch for depending on which side of that you're on.
What about El Nino, man? We haven't seen much of that thing where we're at in the panhandle of Texas.
Yeah, I really haven't. And the systems have been moving through too quickly to really pull that moisture, that Gulf moisture, up into that area. And that's a real concern of mine. If we can't change that over the next month, and that just kind of gets locked in. And that has implications for the corn market going forward as well, because a lot of the models have been calling for a quick demise to El Nino. And if that happens, that increases our odds of having drought problems in the Midwest this summer. So far, the demise of El Nino has been very slow, and that tends to favor a wetter outlook for the Midwest and a larger corn crop being produced, with the drought, unfortunately, being focused more on the plains. And so, you know, I don't like that aspect of it, and we've had too many droughts in the plains of late, and again, that may delay again the rebuilding of the cow herd as well.
So you live up in the Kansas City area. How's it been up there?
We've been right on the edge of getting the moisture, so we've been getting enough moisture to go along, and it's just been slowly rebuilding our soil profile. If you go east of us, that's where they've got a lot of problems with the soil profile. Looks like that's going to improve now as we go into the month of March. Looks like a wetter signature for March. April could still go either way, but we're doing all right in the Kansas City area.
So the calendar gets turned to March here shortly, so we'll have our next WADZI report coming out. What do you expect on those numbers?
Yeah, first of all, is USDA going to be open?
That could be.
We always say most of the time Congress comes through with a continuing resolution, and they are. We've had a few years when they didn't, and that would mean no crop report. But I think from this crop report, assuming we do get it, the big question is going to be what happens with South American production. That's really, I do think we could see USDA maybe cut its soybean export target a little bit more, increase its ethanol demand estimate for corn. I don't know, that's going to have a big impact on the corn market. Soybean market's going down anyway. So I don't see this report as a big market mover for corn or for soybeans. Wheat, probably not either. I think the big focus is going to be Brazilian and Argentine production. But the bigger focus is going to be planting intentions and quarterly stocks at the end of the March.
So farming in the panhandle's changed a lot over the last 10 years. All the dairies coming in, a lot of the corn just running over to the feed yards and the dairies. And the elevators are sitting there with weeds growing up.
yeah, it really has changed the dynamics of the market, and it's been fun to talk to some of those people from there at the Commodity Classic here with it being in Houston. But it's really changing the dynamics, when you go with the water situation and who has water and who doesn't have water. Agriculture is changing and evolving in the High Plains, and that's all the way up into Nebraska as well, really seeing that evolution.
I was looking at the moisture situation up in the Corn Belt, because that's where the traders watch everything up there. They had one day, I think it was in the 60s and 70s, and I think recently they've been down around 10 or 15 degrees with some snow.
Yeah, on Tuesday in Kansas City, we were 77 degrees, beautiful day, a little bit breezy. The next morning, I was driving to the airport, and it was reading 13 degrees. So that was the second biggest turnaround in temperature I ever remember. The biggest, I think, was in 1980, if I recall correctly, when it was an 80-degree turnaround, going from 80 down to zero the next day. That did a number on the wheat crop, as I recall, because January had been very mild. And wheat really got burned pretty bad with that one. This one probably did some foliar damage to the wheat, but probably was healthy in the longer run, kind of setting it back a little bit because it was getting too far along.
So we've had a little snow up in the panhandle as we speak today, a couple inches, but we've had 60 and 70 mile an hour winds. So that's tough on that wheat crop up there. It's been a hard 5-6 years up there.
It really has been a string of years, and of course that's tied to the cow herd situation as well. We'd certainly like to get that turned around, and ironically, as it's been drier in the southwestern plains, the Midwest is trending wetter overall. I know a lot of farmers in Iowa who lose 20 bushel off their corn yield because it was a little drier complain about that, but if you look at the data, they're trending wetter while we're trending drier.
Hey, tell us a little bit about StoneX. They have been around a while.
Yeah, it's really been an evolution of a company. Back in 2009, we went through the merger with International Assets, which is really a jump-started us at that time with about 150 employees. And we really started rapid growth at that point and really turned into INTL FC Stone and then now to StoneX in 2020. We're a global, very diversified company now offering services across the financial services sector. In the commodity world, if it can be traded, we trade it. I think we trade just about everything except orange juice maybe. Give us time on that. But very diversified, seeing some strong growth. Just had our meetings in Orlando, company meetings last week to kind of look at where we're at and where we're going and doing some strategy. And a very global company. I think that's one of the things that really give us our strengths right now is we have boots on the ground everywhere in the world, whether it be in Australia, Brazil, Argentina, China. We've got offices there. We know what's happening. And that really gives us strength in being able to provide information to our customers.
Yeah, I'm looking at the chart behind you and what you guys work on. I see interest rates is one of those. They'll be looking at that again, in June?
Yeah, and we've been saying all along that we felt like the market was wrong on interest rates, that the Fed would not be cutting as quickly as what the market wanted to say. That it would probably be to the last half of the year. It's looking more like that. The market right now is still saying, well, maybe by June. I wouldn't be surprised at all if that gets pushed back a little bit more. I would say this, if we have an earlier interest rate cut than later, that means the economy is really turning south. If the economy continues to be resilient, that means later. Because the Fed, and just indicating the possibility of a pivot, essentially jump-started the economy and made their work harder. Back in December, we saw consumer sentiment immediately jump, the stock market reached new record highs. All of that energizes the economy and starts rejuvenating inflation once again while we still have a lot of stimulus in the system. My bigger concern longer term is, and when you look at the amount of debt certificates or treasury bills that are being offered onto the market because of congressional spending, that supply of treasuries is increasing by an estimated 23% across the yield curve this year. And you have that big of an increase in supply of treasuries at a time when demand for them is down. That means higher yields. That means higher interest rates, regardless of what the Fed does. And that's what I've been warning about for the last 6 months. And I think that's going to catch up to us later this year.
From the StoneX booth at the Commodity Classic in downtown Houston, Arlen, give out your contact info if some farmers want to give StoneX and you a call.
Yeah, absolutely. Go to StoneX.com and find us easily. Or follow me on X, formerly Twitter. My handle is Arlen, ARLANFF101, and direct message me there.
All right. Appreciate the time and enjoy the stay in Houston.
All right. Thank you, Todd.